Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
So I'm on Wikipedia right now.
Yeah.
Actually, Adam R. just tweeted it at me.
Okay.
David Haw, family. He is married to his wife, Allison. Together, they have a son named Blair and two dogs. D's and Nuts.
Okay. Those aren't the names of my dogs. So my case is rested on the Wikipedia thing. It's not always accurate.
Yeah, it used to say Quigs and Finfer.
It used to say Quigs and Finfer. People have had fun changing the names of my dogs on Wikipedia. Whoever is doing that.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, not the names of my dogs. It could be worse, but they are not named that. My dogs are Ashton and Bear.
Ashton and Bear. Did you name them that?
No.
Or
I don't think I would name my dog Bear, Cap.
Why not?
Bears
would be one thing. Bear, like a big dog.
He is a big dog. He's a big 90-pound golden retriever that has a mind of his own and likes to counter surf and sit in my recliner.
You don't like to sit in your recliner?
I'd love to sit in my recliner. I don't like my golden retriever to sit in my recliner, especially when it's sleeping there overnight. He likes to sleep in my recliner. So every night before I go to bed, I put something on my recliner so he won't sleep there.
That's rude.
No, that's smart.
That's rude.
Get off the furniture.
Oh, we let our dogs on all.
I know you do. I know you like to have a nice spot, and you like to tweet pictures of you sleeping next to your dog. That's not me. Okay.
I went outside Sunday to watch the golf, the Cubs, and the White Sox, and I'm laying on the lounge chair in the backyard, and Yoshi jumped up right on next to me, and we both took a little nap in the sun together. Phenomenal. Great.
Look, I walk my dog, my dogs, although Ashton's getting up there in years now. But, stay off the furniture. I'm just not a big dog on the furniture
guy. So you don't
guy.
Let him sleep in bed with
you? Are
you
kidding me?
Oh, my God.
I don't get that. Plus, my wife is allergic to dogs. Figure that one out. Yeah. She's allergic to dogs, but she wants a third one now. She wants a third dog.
Oh, I love
that. And she's got company. You know, if there were a vote in our house, if it were a democracy, we'd have a third dog. Because my son wants one, too.
Are you going to get one?
No.
Why do you get
There's
the
a two-dog limit. There's a two-dog limit.
We have three. Trust me.
Okay.
It's no different. It's no harder.
We've had three before. There is difference.
It's the greatest.
When you clean the backyard, there's a difference.
It's the greatest.
Okay.
I love my dog. Oh, man. I'm a
How'd we
dog
get on
guy.
This?
I have no idea. Because of D's and Nuts.
D's and Nuts. Those wonderful dogs.
All right. Let's get some calls in here real quick. We're going to grab one.
No, we can't take
a call.
We have to talk to Lance McAllister when we come back.
Okay.
About the Pete Rose situation. Breaking NHL news, the cap was set at $71.4 million.
That's a help to the Hawks.
That's a help because they feared it would be in the 69 range, which would meant another player.
Mm-hmm.
71.4, not a bad number.
There you go. 312-235-2525. Larry in Evergreen Park, Joe in Hennepin, wherever that is. I do have questions. Larry, I think, started drinking this morning. We'll get to that, but we're going to talk to Lance McAllister next.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Did you bet on baseball?
Yes, I did, and that was my mistake, not coming clean a lot earlier.
I bet on baseball in 1987 and 1988. Did you bet on your own team?
Yes. It never altered the way I tried to run the game.
Did you ever bet against your own team?
Oh, no. That would be the last thing I'd ever even consider.
That's the Michael Kay Show with Peter Edward Rose, the hit king, who is now dealing with the fallout of yesterday's ESPN bombshell that he may have bet on baseball as a player, which he has steadfastly denied.
But the proof is there.
Well, if you believe that proof, correct. It was a log handwritten that was discovered in a raid. It's been under lock and key, and then ESPN able to obtain
it. Pretty
it.
Convincing, put it
pretty,
that way.
Pretty damning stuff. Lance McAllister, who covers Reds baseball, has done their pre and post for years, also does a talk show, and he's basically the biggest media superstar next to Marty Brenneman in the Queen City. He's also only getting four games for me in our annual Reds-Cubs bet. That's not looking good for him right now. joins us now. Lance, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Lance.
Gentlemen, good morning.
All right, your thoughts on the news that broke yesterday that Pete Rose allegedly bet on Major League Baseball as a player, not just as a manager?
Well, indicator of how it hit here, I did 3 hours last night of sports talk, and for 3 hours I took call after call after call of nothing but Pete Rose. So that's kind of the basis for how this city – and I joked last night, I could go back and look at my show sheets over the last X number of years. I can't tell you the number of times I've done this topic over the years, yet – I don't know that it really moved anybody one way or another last night. The conclusion was, no matter how you felt about Pete or whatever side of the fence you were on, yesterday's news didn't change that, because I don't think it was really – I don't think it shocked anybody. And I think by the bylaws of Major League Baseball, they've never broken it down beyond whether he bet as a player, bet as a manager, bet on, bet against. If you bet, you're banned, and we knew that 26 years ago. So I think most here kind of threw up their hands and said, what are you telling us that's new? Did you really think he didn't bet as a player manager? We knew he bet. Does it matter the role in which he bet? He's still banned from the game. And I am still of the belief this remains an issue of whether a quarter of a century is enough time served for sins if the penalty fits the crime. And I still have the belief that the Reds should be able to use Pete Rose in a capacity that they choose to use, because he is this city's and not Major League Baseball's.
Lance, I can understand the reaction that people kind of didn't learn anything they didn't feel like they already knew. I do wonder, though, if it changed the mindset of if there was any momentum of Pete Rose getting into the Hall of Fame before this revelation yesterday, if it changed that, and it maybe is going to get in the way of, you know, what Rob Manfred thinks or what Major League Baseball thinks, because I think they are sometimes slaves to public opinion. And I think public opinion nationally might be, boy, this guy has spent a quarter of a century lying about his involvement. So if we were ready to forgive him, we're not now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not ideal timing. It doesn't help, and it does halt the momentum, and it gives Rob Manfred a reason. I mean, I can imagine being Rob and sitting with Pete in the office and looking at him once that meeting eventually comes up and saying, dude, what are you doing here? You're killing me. I was thinking about this. I had fresh eyes on this. You're good for the game of baseball as an ambassador for the game. We like how you look on TV promoting the game for Fox Sports and Fox Sports One. But, man, you've put me in a position where I can't do this, because if I do it, I don't know what might be next, because, Pete, it's always one thing or another with you. Nobody ever knows when you're done telling your story, which seems to change. And that's the frustrating part. And I said last night, and Cap, you know this, it's frustrating to me that Pete doesn't seem to work as hard at this as his friends and those close to him are working to get him in a good standing with Major League Baseball, be it Mike Schmidt or on down the list. It's like, you know, could you help a little bit here? And why he didn't say in 2004, this, I can only speculate, but I would have to think in 2004 when he came clean to the extent he did, he thought, man, I got to hold on to this last sliver here that I can't say that I bet as a player while I was playing, because that's the line in the sand everybody has. They'll say, you know, you got to consider him as a player. What he did as a manager doesn't relate to the Hall of Fame. Put him in as a player, and now that line's been erased.
Well, here's my thought. Did he not know that they had this evidence under lock and key? He can't be that stupid. His people around him, his attorneys, had to know what the evidence was when he agreed to the lifetime ban. Then Bart Giamatti tragically passes away 8 or 9 months later. He had to know this was out there.
Well, and I would agree with that. But at the same time, I would have to believe that Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball was aware of this, because, you know, John Dowd runs like a little girl tattletaling on everybody. And John Dowd lives to have his life completed in a circle with Pete Rose being stuck to a cross in downtown Cincinnati. That's been clear from the beginning. So there would have been no shock, and I said this last night, to visualize John Dowd and Faye Vincent and Bud Selig toasting somewhere in a mansion in front of a fireplace with robes and ascots on, it with a mural of Bart Giamatti hanging on the wall as they toasted and laughed at the final demise of Pete Rose. You got me all worked up now.
That's a great image, Lance. That's a great picture you just painted with your words. Excellently done. Okay, so we know that Cooperstown can ban Pete Rose and he can still show up in Cooperstown signing autographs and having a presence. I wonder what is his role going to be? What is his presence going to be during All-Star weekend or the build-up? And what do you expect to see from Pete Rose then? And how will the people treat him?
It's a great question because we've been led to believe there will be a role to be determined by the Reds and approved by Major League Baseball. But conveniently, that hasn't – there's been nothing new on that for a while. In fact, they've released this Fan Fest, which is located near the stadium at a convention center, and they have already announced through Major League Baseball and the Reds a list of, I don't know, 30 or 40 Hall of Famers, current Reds or former Reds who are going to show up and meet and greet, do autographs. And Pete's name was not on that. And nobody, that was, and that list was released 2 or 3 weeks ago. And nobody's been able to come up with an answer for that. I know Pete is already, he's doing an appearance in town on Sunday night prior to the All-Star game that has nothing to do with the All-Star game, which people are curious about. So I don't know. He will get an ovation that will rock the foundation of Great American Ballpark and rock the foundation of the city when and if he appears in that stadium for the All-Star game. There's no question. Be it the first pitch or whatever it is, this town will go nuts.
I'm trying to remember who the player was who came out. I know Boomer Esiason came out this morning on CBS Sports Radio on his Minute and said that he's friends with Pete. He's always supported Pete getting in, not to come back and work as a manager or a GM, but that now that this came out, he will not support him as his friend. He said, I do not believe he should ever be put in the Hall of Fame. And then another major league player, former player, came out this morning and said the same thing. He drew a line in the sand. He told me he did not bet as a player. He lied to me. Never again. Do you think that's the prevailing wisdom around baseball?
Well, here's what kills me, and I said this last night, and I just don't get it. Of all the causes in the world, of all the wrongs in the world, the number of people who have taken up this cause to make it their goal in life that Pete Rose will never get a second opportunity in any way, shape, or form is baffling to me. There are people who will not fight against the parole of murderers. There are people who will not, yeah, of all the causes, of all that's wrong in the world, people for whatever reason get their engines revved up to take every shred and to nail Pete Rose to a cross, and I don't get it. I'm not saying what he did wasn't wrong. I am saying his sins are worthy of forgiveness after a quarter of a century. I am saying that his career is a Hall of Fame career, and I am saying that he deserves, as part of this city and this franchise, to be invited to Reds Fest, to be invited on the Reds Caravan, to be a part of Reds reunions. Whether he can do anything else in baseball, I don't care. But for Major League Baseball to put its foot down and say that this city can't have their guy is indefensible, and it's always been indefensible.
I tend to agree with you, Lance. I think that's very well put. So before we let you go, they'll have to ask you a question unrelated to Pete Rose, because the Reds are in the seller's mode, it would seem, and the rumors surrounding Aroldis Chapman have made their way. The Cubs have been mentioned. I think that's a long shot. I think that Johnny Cueto is certainly more likely to be moved. I don't know about Chapman. What can you tell us about both those guys and the interest level?
Well, you know, I think it took a hit yesterday with Johnny Cueto because the Reds had to bump him 3 days for more rest. Read into that what you want. Johnny was supposed to pitch tonight. They're now bumping him to Friday. This is after missing two starts because of elbow discomfort. I've maintained, if I'm a scout and I'm watching Johnny since he's come back from the elbow discomfort, I'd make in my notes, I need to see him again. And I think I'm a scout, I'm going to say now I need to see him a couple of more times. And you're running up against the deadline of when the trade deadline actually is to feel comfortable enough to trade for him. This team and this ownership still believes, and they've won, what, 4 of their last 5? They've won 9 of their last 14. It's got a stubborn owner who doesn't want to cash in the chips at this point. Now, they've still got 38 days to decide and have it play out. But I think ultimately Johnny Cueto has to be traded. And I think ultimately if you're going to trade Johnny Cueto, it does no good to keep Aroldis Chapman here to save games for a team that might win 74 games. So I'd trade him, and I'd start the repositioning of this franchise. But ownership tends to be very stubborn about stuff like this.
Hey, David and I are looking forward to eating some ribs. You want to send them now?
Yeah, that's real funny. Real funny.
Hey, Lance, thanks a lot. Great stuff this morning.
Thanks, guys. You got me all fired up now.
See, hey, by the way, if you didn't know it, Chris Bryant hit two homers last night and beat Kershaw.
Yeah, I heard.
See you later, buddy.
See you, Lance.
See ya.
There he is. That's our guy, the great Lance McAllister in Cincinnati.
He and passion.
He and I have a bet every year.
Yeah, I know. You bring it up every now and then.
And so I gave.
I've noticed.
Last year, he gave me 19 games between the Cubs and Reds. 19! So I won. This year, I gave him 4.
And you're going to win.
Probably.
Going away, I think.
Should. Take a time out. We'll come right back. Patrick Mooney, CSN Chicago's next.
It's Cap and Haw.
Driven in the air out into deep right. Quinn goes back on and it is gone. That's a 2-run homer. Chris Bryant just snapped an 0 for 15 in the ninth. Oh my. He's going to hit his second. Gone.
The game of peaks and valleys, and I was on a valley, and you know, I just went into the game telling myself I'm due for a big game, and I got it. So you just always got to think that way in this game. It's crazy. I mean, it's so easy to get down on yourself, but, you know, those are the types of runs that make you the type of player you're going to be. So I'm glad I came out of it tonight.
Chris Bryant, after he went yard twice.
Twice.
Welcome back to Cap and Haw. By the way, the great vice president of audio on our show.
Yes.
The great Ernie
Skatton.
That's
his title.
He's in the house.
Very nice to see him.
Vice President of all creative audio. Yes. Under the direction of the great Mike Jacobson. Welcome back on Cap and Haw. We'll get to Larry in Evergreen Park, Joe and Hannepin. We've got page 2. We got a lot of stuff
to
do.
Yeah, I'm not going to respond to these texts either of these people who are sending us pictures of them sleeping with their dogs. I'm just going to let the sleeping dogs lie.
It's the greatest. I sleep with our dogs. Okay. My wife loves having our dogs.
I'm not going to go down that path.
The greatest. So. All right. The Chicago Cubs are ahead of schedule. Everyone would agree with that. Last night, they beat Clayton Kershaw. Tonight, they'll take a shot at another elite arm, Zach Greinke. You having a laugh over there?
Yeah, you're doing a very good job of containing your glee.
I'm trying to be
professional. You are gleeful.
I am gleeful. It was great being there as a fan last night. Patrick Mooney travels with the Chicago Cubs. He's at every single game, and he joins us now from CSN Chicago, csnchicago.com. Follow him on Twitter at CSN Mooney and read his great work at csnchicago.com. Moons, good morning. How are you there, Sparky?
Hi, Patrick.
Good. How you guys been?
We're doing great. Thank you for taking time for us. Let's talk about this baseball team. I don't think anybody thought they would be at the point that they're at on a pace to win, I don't know. Then I'm not saying they're going to, but they're on a pace to win like 100 games. They're going to probably be somewhere high 80s, maybe win 90 ball games. Phil Rogers said yesterday. Are you stunned where they're at?
I'm definitely surprised. You know, I didn't think some of these young players would click the way they have. I didn't think they'd be able to survive John Lester's brutal April. You know, when the Cubs traded away Jason Hamill, I think you thought maybe that was the best, you know, 3-month run of his career, and he's duplicated that. Miguel Montero has stayed healthy, and I think there were question marks about that. And certainly Dexter Fowler, until last night's sprained ankle, has really kind of fit the bill in terms of a center fielder leadoff guy that they needed. So, yeah, I'm definitely surprised where they're at now, and we'll just see if they can keep it up, whether maybe some of their luck changes in one-run games with injuries, and whether or not these rookies really hit that wall as we get deeper into the summer.
Patrick, I thought that Theo Epstein was purposely vague before the game yesterday in terms of addressing what the Cubs' approach will be over the next month or so. You ask a question rhetorically in your fine story this morning on csnchicago.com. Well, the Cubs have the ability to take on salary at the July 31st trade deadline. Certainly, if you go after Cole Hamels, that's one level of investment. If you go after somebody else that might be a third or fourth or fifth type starter, a veteran guy with some experience, that's another level of commitment. What do you think the Cubs' level of commitment will be at the near the deadline in terms of the financial burden they may have to take on?
Yeah, David, I think is the biggest question when we start throwing names out there as we head into July 31st. And I do think that know, I heard David Price in Detroit a couple weeks ago basically describe his ideal free agent destination being the Chicago Cubs. I mean, he couldn't explicitly say that, but when he says, I want to go somewhere that's comfortable, a place where I can be myself, a place where I can win now and win for a long time, and the way he raved about Joe Madden and how he wore a onesie on the most comfortable flight of his life cross country, I think that's probably an avenue you want to keep open. If hearing how much the Cubs like Jordan Zimmermann and how the Washington Nationals pitcher has such deep connections to the Midwest, I think that's something to keep in mind as well when you're looking at Cole Hamels and the price it would take in terms of a contract as well as prospects. And I do think there are things that they can do that aren't quite at Cole Hamels' level. I definitely think they'll do something, if not multiple things. But these financial questions are real and they're not going away. And it doesn't mean the Cubs are out of it or going to be disappointed, but it's something that you have to look at, the lens you have to look at through basically any name that pops up on Twitter or trade rumors.
And John Morosi just tweeting at the Rangers and Phillies, ongoing dialogue. Cole Hamels has said he would waive his no trade to go to Texas. So we'll see if he's on the move down to the Rangers. They, of course, lost Yu Darvish this year with an arm injury. He's having he had Tommy John. Moons, do you think that Ben Zobrist is at all in play for the Cubs? Do you think that they will add, besides a starting pitcher, maybe he's not a number one, that perhaps Aroldis Chapman, Jonathan Papelbon, somebody like that could be the back end of the pen?
Yeah, without a doubt, Zobrist fits. I mean, they tried to make a play for him over the winter. They were unsuccessful with the Rays. Obviously, Billy Beane is someone who's not afraid to be bold and kind of go against the grain. And obviously, Theo has a pretty good history of being able to make deals with him after last year's Addison Russell blockbuster. I do think they'll, you know, kind of kick the tires on someone like Papelbon. I think they know him well enough in terms of being okay with his fit in Joe Batten's clubhouse. But again, it goes back to the financial question David raised of, do you want to be on the hook for, you know, the millions it would take this year? And I believe, you know, another maybe $13 million if something kicks in for next year, especially when you see the amount of bullpen arms that they have, even if they don't have necessarily a true lockdown closer like a Chapman. I do think, you know, that they have options for the ninth inning. And I think Theo was asked this yesterday of how you go all in now, or how do you balance looking at the next, say, 5 to 10 years for this organization. I do think whatever pieces they get back, they're going to try to get guys that they would have under control next year and maybe the year after. So it wouldn't seem like just a total 3-month rental. It would be another piece that makes sense for this plan as you build it out for the next couple of seasons.
Patrick, I have to ask you about the Starlin Castro issue. I think there's no more polarizing player that the Cubs have, and I think the debate over whether to trade him or keep him has been going on for a while. I wrote this morning, I would not trade him. I do not think that
I would.
I know you would, Cap. I just think that he gets understandable criticism for the mental lapses and concentration, wandering. All those things are valid and intolerable, and you cannot accept those things. At the same time, I think you can't ignore the fact that he's a pretty good clutch hitter and a very professional hitter that is going to be a bigger part of your solution than your problem. Where are you with Starlin Castro? And realistically, how much are the Cubs hoping that they get, you know, that somebody emerges that wants him and they can get something quality in return?
Yeah, I mean, I've gone back and forth with Starlin. I think I've defended him a lot over the years because I think he did, he was singled out and took on more criticism than he deserved in piling up more than 900 hits. But that stretch he had in May, I think, was probably the worst all-around stretch I've seen from him, you know, since he got called up in 2010. That was my first year on the beat. And, you know, I remember seeing him grow, and you kept saying to yourself, well, maybe once his team's in contention. Maybe he'll take it up a notch. And it seemed like he did in April, but just offensively and defensively, and there are times where he just looked totally lost in May. And I think it comes down to, I mean, do you trust this guy, you know, in October? And I think you could certainly envision him having big hits down the stretch in September and also, you know, committing an error that leaves Cubs fans talking about it for the next, say, 50 years. I mean, it's just the erratic play that you've seen from Starlin, I think, is surprising. But I don't think you trade him right now because his value is kind of at an all-time low. And I think a lot of teams, a lot of opposing scouts, see some of the same things we do. And I do think that Jed and Theo and Joe Maddon, you know, view him as a project, that they want him to get better. They think he wants it. They know that he works hard. He's coachable. He's a good guy in the clubhouse. So it's not like they're looking to get rid of him, but I do think there's going to be these push-pull dynamics, really, until either Starlin is traded or moved off the position. I don't think he's answered definitively any of the questions we had going into, you know, what should be almost a make-or-break type year.
We're talking to Patrick Mooney, CSNChicago.com. Jed Hoyer was on MLB Network Radio on Sunday, and I listened to the interview, and he said, Addison Russell we look at as a shortstop, and we think he is long-term a shortstop. Well, that means something's got to give because you got Javi Baez, you got Starlin Castro, who you just opined on, and we've got Addison Russell. If he's truly a shortstop, why not move him over there and in short order, because
now,
he makes you a better defensive team in the most important position on the field other than catcher?
Yeah, I'm sure the Cubs have been asking themselves those questions for quite some time now. I don't think you can really count on Javier Baez at this point. Obviously, he's injured and has had a rough year, and maybe the window to trade him might have closed, and I think that's something we all have to keep in mind as names start popping up. If you do want to go get a pitcher or a frontline closer, then you're going to have to be willing to give up some of these guys, and I think maybe Javier Baez is a guy that maybe they should have tried to move earlier. Now, having said that, I think Starlin Castro can be, you know, a productive member of this team, and maybe we just have to readjust some of these expectations. You know, we saw him on billboards opposite Derek Jeter when the Cubs were trying to hype the Yankees coming into town. And so that's not realistic, but, you know, there's no reason why he can't, you know, be a solid second baseman. And, you know, there are questions about whether or not Addison Russell can be a shortstop. I know we want to anoint him as the next guy, but there are reasons why the Cubs passed on him in the draft coming out of high school. Like, there are, you know, concerns about his body type, how he would fill out. You know, he's a big guy, you know, and maybe he's your third baseman of the future. So Joe Maddon, I will say, has been consistent in backing Starlin Castro. He has not really one time given into the temptation to rip Starlin the way other managers here have. So I think they'll ride it out for a little while here. But it is interesting seeing Nomar Garciaparra at Wrigley Field yesterday up in the press box doing stuff for the Dodgers. That, you know, we all know Theo's not afraid to pull the trigger or, you know, think big or, you know, get creative at shortstop. If he's willing to do it with Nomar, certainly Starlin Castro isn't, you know, untouchable or have a lifetime appointment to the shortstop position in Wrigleyville.
Patrick, great insight. Appreciate you joining us.
Anytime, guys.
Moon, see you at the ballpark, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
I'm good, Kev.
Take care. There he is, the great Patrick Mooney, CSNChicago.com.
Good reminder of Nomar being in the building. And if you doubt whether or not Theo Epstein would pull the trigger in the midst of a pennant race, think of 2004.
Yep, and they went on to win the World Series.
Traded Nomar.
Here.
Here.
That's right.
And what happened?
Got Orlando Cabrera back because he said he makes us better defensively.
Yeah, and what happened to Boston in 2004? Historic things
curse.
Happened. Yeah.
Curse of the Bambino. Hey, get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in app today. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience, shop where we shop. It's app, A-B-T. App.com. Ask for the great Steve Shapiro, app-pleasing people, since 1936. Quick timeout. We'll grab these couple calls
page
and
two.
Do page two. Be right back.
We're desperate for stories.
And this one is so compelling.
This is page two.
All right, page two time here on Kevin Haw. Stuff that doesn't make the top of the paper, the above the fold, that doesn't make the front of
yeah.
our show, the
it's
top.
Page two.
It's page two.
Page two.
I'm going to start.
Oh, okay.
Sad.
You like to bring sad news to this show.
But just,
you like to do this. Here's the balloon. Pop.
Well, it's
breaking news.
It's news.
Let's bring everybody down.
Dick
with
Van
some sad
Patten
news.
Died.
I know.
From Eight is Enough.
I love that show.
So did I.
Wednesday nights? Was it Wednesday nights?
I think it was.
Eight is enough to fill our lives with love. Right? That's it.
Right.
I love that show.
Good show.
I thought that the my favorite one was Nicholas.
Yeah.
Cute little kid.
With the bowl haircut.
The most attractive daughter. I'm trying to remember the names now.
I gotta look them
up. But I remember watching that every week. That was a staple. And he was a great dad, wasn't he? A great TV dad.
He was
when you're
good.
Talking about the top 5 or 10 TV dads, yeah, he was definitely – he was a newspaper guy. And that show.
Okay, the best looking of the daughters?
Yeah.
I don't know the name. I don't know her name. She was the blonde.
I knew you were going to say the blonde.
Not the redhead.
Definitely
not the
blonde.
Brunette. Although the brunette was kind of cute. I don't know what their names are. That's the problem.
Well, Abby was the
Connie
mom.
Needham. That's the one I like.
Okay.
She's actually got darker hair in this picture. Connie Needham. She was cute.
She, I think that who was what character was her character? She was Elizabeth.
Was she Elizabeth?
Yeah, she was Elizabeth. Susan Bradford, which Susan Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
That I think she was one of my favorite characters. That was a great show.
It was a good show. Our condolences to the Van Patten family.
Yes,
Vince, a big poker broadcaster now.
Is he really?
He's the guy on Comcast.
I wonder what
night.
Happened to the rest of the Eight Is Enough crew. You know, Willie Ames, wasn't he he was Tommy Bradford.
Yeah, the older one.
He went on to do some other sitcoms. Life After Eight is Enough. You're going to see that on E! Sometime soon, you know, now that he has passed away. Okay, so switching gears. How about, did you see what happened at UCLA yesterday?
Yeah, I did.
Back page of the Tribune and everywhere else online. Diddy was arrested on campus. 45-year-old actually Sean Combs is his real name. He had an altercation with UCLA strength and conditioning coach Sal Alossi.
You know who that is, right?
Yes, I do know who that is. He was a former Jets assistant that tripped a player during a game against the Dolphins. Now, these strength and conditioning coaches are half nuts.
They're
you
nuts.
Know that.
Yeah.
They're definitely a breed apart when you talk about football coaching staffs.
They're like that guy in Draft Day that –
yes,
strength and conditioning coach.
But you know, you want somebody like that in your program. You need somebody like that in your program.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that
wall. You do. And these guys are worth their weight in gold. Justin Combs is Diddy's son, redshirt junior DB. And they were working out on campus. And from reports are, the coach was really getting on Diddy's son. And Diddy got in the way and took offense. And there was a... What was there? A kettlebell involved, which is used in weight training?
Correct.
Clocked him with a kettlebell or threatened to clock him with
and
a
he
kettlebell,
had,
allegedly.
I think $150,000 or $250,000 bail. They've now reduced that.
But wasn't he booked in the UCLA Police Department?
He was originally.
So do you get like bottled water and like, you
know,
and
the cheerleaders come over.
Exactly.
And serenade.
And you get like fanned in the prison cell. I mean, what is that like? But. If I were Diddy, I would just stay away from – I would stay out of UCLA football business.
He's been more successful than his son has been on the field. I mean, his son, not a very good player.
No, but isn't Snoop Dogg's kid also with UCLA?
He is.
Imagine that.
And Kevin O'Neal, when he coached USC, had Lil Romeo. That's the rap star on his basketball team.
I saw on Twitter that this was Diddy's biggest hit in years.
That is. That's his biggest hit in years, no question. Tom Brady is at his hearing as we speak.
As we speak.
Commissioner Roger Goodell.
With 39 other people, right? It's a crowded room.
It is. A gentleman by the name of Juan Lin arrived outside the NFL offices just after 8 a.m. wearing a blue Brady jersey and holding a free Brady sign. Told his boss, "I have a health issue." He had to be off of work. Spotted at the Tom Brady thing, he said, "I told my boss I had a health issue because Tom Brady is in my heart, and my heart hurts right now."
Oh, gosh. Really?
Get a life, dude. Get a life.
That's a bit...
He's always in my heart, Lynn said of Brady.
Oh, that's a bit much. What do you think's going to happen with that?
I think he gets 3 games.
You think that it
it's
is reduced by
that,
one?
It's embarrassing. Well, I hope it stays at 4.
It'll likely stay... I don't know. The appeal process is very confusing to me. I don't know how it works because the person hearing the appeal is the person that doled out the penalty.
I've handled dozens of balls.
You paying attention to what's going on with the NBA, comings and goings, a lot of rumor. The draft is Thursday, by the way.
Yep.
We'll have to actually talk about the draft
tomorrow,
won't we?
And the hockey's this weekend. I think it's Saturday.
The hockey draft is Saturday. We've been talking hockey a little bit, though. A lot of potential movement with the L.A. Lakers at the top of the draft. They pick second, and I think that's where Jahlil Okafor is going to eventually land, and that will be a great moment for that family and that young man when that happens, if that happens. He's going somewhere big. But you see where the Kings now are shopping, or said to be shopping, DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
Because George Karl can't get along with him, and DeMarcus Cousins is tweeting all sorts of things. Yesterday he tweeted something in related to the Lakers, and there seems to be a mixed message.
The Knicks said this morning they're out. Phil Jackson said, "We don't have the assets to acquire him."
Are they going to shop Cousins? Are they not shopping him? They say one thing, they seem to be doing another, telling him another. Did you see, though, what stood out to me? Who's making the decisions for the Kings? The guy who's the lead decision maker.
Who was it?
Vlade Divac.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Vlade Divac is the... is their guy.
That's a quite a transformation. How many 7 foot four? Was he 7'4", 7'2"?
He's 7 feet.
7 feet?
Yeah.
He's taller than he's 7'2"-ish. How many that decision makers, executives that tall do you see in the NBA?
Not many.
And he made quite a transition. But yeah, Vlade Divac is telling the Sacramento Bee, dealing away the team's best player, quote, not happening.
Yeah, Vlade Divac, 7'1".
Okay, 7'1".
Yes,
that's one big executive.
And how
desk.
Did he end up in Sac? I think he was in Charlotte and then went to Sacramento.
How did he get to Sactown?
Who was he traded for?
He was traded for Chris Webber.
When the Lakers got rid of him.
He was traded for, I don't know.
Kobe.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Rights to Kobe Bryant.
Oh, the Charlotte one.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Sactown.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Traded to Charlotte for the rights to Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, Kobe was briefly a Charlotte Hornet.
How about that? All right, let's talk. We haven't gotten to the White Sox. Crushed in the Twin Cities, falling 13-2 as pitching staff gives up 4 home runs. Sox in the middle of a stretch playing 19 straight series against teams with winning records, 11 down, 8 more to go. They've been outscored 44-10 in 5 games in Minnesota this season. And get this, they failed to score at least 4 runs in any of their last 9 games. Twins had a 5-run fourth inning and a 6th inning last night. And you had 2 errors for Alexi Ramirez. John Danks is now 7-15 lifetime against Minnesota in 28 starts with an ERA of 5.76. In those 28 starts, the Twins have clubbed 24 home runs off.
Yeah, we did talk about the Sox, but I can see why you would want to forget that.
We did at the beginning.
Very forgettable. Yeah, your audience changes every 15 minutes.
But I felt we had to pay them.
I think that you're right. I think that's a good little programming decision on your part, Vlade.
Thank you, Kobe.
Oh, I'm Kobe. All right, before we get out of here, yesterday we mentioned Jay Cutler being at the Michigan camp with Jim Harbaugh and, you know, taking relay throws and throwing it to the right base and all that stuff. Was interesting, though, that he did say this over the weekend. I think it was quoted on ESPN.com, I believe. I wanted to have the proper attribution. You remember the little kerfuffle that Kristen caused when she said that, you know, Chicago's just not home to
us. It just doesn't feel like
in
home.
Elle magazine.
Yeah.
Well, as you might expect, the husband defended the wife and said the quotes were taken out of context. And Jay put it very clearly, quote, "We have family in Chicago. We have a house in Chicago. Our roots are in Chicago." Kind of downplayed it and said his wife's comments were taken out of context and he is happily ensconced in Chicagoland. Well, I believe him.
Well done, Cuddy.
Well done.
Be nice to the neighbors and have a good time. Be a good neighbor out there.
I don't know.
Stop.
Zach Hample, who caught A-Rod's 3,000th hit ball, says he's now reconsidering.
Oh, that guy. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Reconsidering that he may work it out to get the ball to A-Rod, but he said he's caught over 8,000 baseballs. So a quick little bit of math. If he goes to 162 games a year.
A year.
Do you realize how many baseballs 8,000 is?
Yeah, that's a lot.
He's not that old a guy.
Spring training, batting practice.
Does he not have a job?
How many kids has he cut in front of to take the ball from?
There's no way that he possibly, if he caught 10 balls a game, that's what? 1,600 balls a season. And he ain't getting 10 baseballs a game, I can promise you that.
No. He's not. But did you see his reaction when he caught the Jeter ball? Not the Jeter ball.
The A-Rod
ball? A-Rod ball, yeah. He just, I mean, the guy, come on. Get a job. Get a life.
Do a job.
Oh, I haven't heard that voice in a while because we cut it from the open.
That's right. That was Mike's.
It's back in, though.
Mike's decision.
It's back in. Shame on me for not paying attention to the open that closely.
All right. Yeah, that's, you got the VP of creative audio here.
I love our open. I love our open. I love it better now that Thibs is back.
Anyway, we are out of here. Back tomorrow. Should be a lot of fun. Thank you again to the one and only, the great Eddie Olczyk.
Yeah, it was fun having Eddie in.
Patrick Mooney, Lance McAllister.
And Greg
Easterly.
Yep.
The general manager, president.
Thank
WGN
you
Television.
For coming on and clearing that up. Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks again. Sorry we couldn't get to the rest of our callers. We'll
call
get
back
to
tomorrow.
More of you tomorrow.
We'll be here.
We'll be here. Have a great night. You have a great day, buddy.
You too.
Writing for tomorrow?
Yeah, no.
Okay, good. See ya.
All right. Well, see you later.